Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Who will control my life? Many people answer the question with the words, "I will." The attitude is, "No one tells me what to do. I will live my own life in my own way." Several well-known songs have expressed this sentiment. The song, "My Way," sung by Frank Sinatra, talks about one who has come to the end of his life, and he says, "I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way." And also the song, "My Life," sung by Billy Joel, it says, "I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home, I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life, go ahead with your own life, and leave me alone." Well, this continues to be a very popular view of life. Live your life your own way and don't let anybody tell you what to do. Probably most people who make the decision to live their lives their own way are unaware of the fact that it was self-rule that got us into trouble in the first place. Adam and Eve's decision to eat of the forbidden fruit was a decision to have it their own way rather than God's way. Now, I understand Eve was deceived by the devil, but her decision to eat of the fruit that God had told them not to eat of was her decision, and it was a decision to do what she wanted. The Scripture says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Genesis 3 and verse 6. And so Eve did what she thought would bring her pleasure and wisdom. But Adam and Eve's decision to have it their own way introduced sin into the world and all the death, sorrow, and pain that have come along with it. From that point on, man's every attempt to act independently of God has served only to worsen our predicament. The sooner we learn that man cannot live without God, the better. How desperately do we need to learn that God is the Creator and we are His creatures. Each of us needs to personalize the words of Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." That God is infinitely more fit to rule our lives is clear. He is the all-wise and loving Creator while we are the short-sighted creatures. He is all-knowing and all-powerful, and we are everywhere limited. Even when we know these things to be so, we are reluctant to surrender ourselves to Him. For some reason, we think we know better than God does. The truth is, letting God have control of my life is at once the hardest and the smartest thing I can do. It is the smartest because He will manage my life immeasurably better than I can. It is the hardest because what I want and think is best is often at variance with what God knows is best. To truly let God rule in my life, I must cultivate three attitudes of heart. Well, first, we need humility. Pride is one of the primary reasons we live our lives our own way rather than God's way. We think we know best. We think we can direct our own paths. But if we're ever going to please God, we must come to understand what Jeremiah understood when he said, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." God's way is the only way, and we need to humble ourselves to realize that. We often are arrogant, like Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, when Moses, the prophet of God, came to him and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go?" That's Exodus 5, verses 1 and 2. Well, many today say, "Well, who is God that I should obey Him?" God gave Pharaoh and the Egyptians a 10-lesson course in who He is. He sent the 10 plagues. Well, after that, Pharaoh knew who the Lord was. You see, humility involves the realization that God is God and I am not. Humility means accepting the fact that I am not my own, but fully the possession of my Creator and that He is in control. We don't need to experience 10 plagues from God to know this. We have the record of God's power and judgment written in Scripture. The Scriptures are historical documents recording God's dealings with man in times past. And by reading the Scriptures, we learn of His power, His judgment. We learn of His love and mercy. We learn of His will for man. We learn that He is Lord and that He is in control. Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And believing and understanding the truth about God will cause us to humble ourselves before Him. And further, humility involves acting in a manner that is consistent with our faith in God. Humility before God is measured by obedience to God. Put negatively, the humble man does not dictate to God the terms or conditions upon which he will serve Him, but seeks to obey everything God requires. The humble man does not pick and choose from God's Word what he wants to believe and obey, and then discards the rest, but rather he humbly submits to God in all that God says. James says in James 2 and verse 10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." The decision to disobey God in that one point shows an attitude toward God and His law. It is saying, "I will obey God in those things in which I agree with Him, but if there is an area in which I disagree, I will do it my way." Well, that is not humbly submitting to the law of God. Rather, it is becoming a judge of God's law. God is no longer sitting in the driver's seat of my life. I am. If I am going to let God rule in my life, I must humble myself to recognize that He is God and I am not, and to humbly submit to Him in all things. And then secondly, the person in whose life God rules is one who has confidence in God. If I'm going to let God be God, I must believe that He knows what He is doing with my life, and I must trust Him to run it. Faith in God means that I am confident that His way is the right way. I am confident that His way is the best way. The Bible teaches that God's commandments are just and holy and good, and they are for our good always. You know, this was true of the law of Moses that God gave the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24 says, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day." Well, this is also true of the law of Christ, of which we are amenable. Peter, the apostle, says to Christians in 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Well, who will love life and see good days? Well, among other things, it says, those who turn away from evil and do good. These are the ones who let God rule in their lives. Many people think that if they become a Christian and commit their lives to Jesus, then they will have to give up their life of pleasure and fulfillment. Well, this is not true. In letting Jesus Christ rule in your life, you will be gaining a life of pleasure and fulfillment. Now, it is true, becoming a Christian, one must give up certain momentary pleasures of life, but he is gaining a life of joy, hope, and peace. It is a life in which he knows he is right with God, he is ready to meet God in judgment, and he has the hope of eternal life in heaven. Moses was one who rejected temporary pleasures for the eternal reward that God would give him. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 24, says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." You see, the one who commits his life to God lives a life of hope and peace. You see, he looks to the reward. But also it's a life that provides self-respect because it is a life free of guilt. The Christian doesn't have to worry about what others may say or do because he knows that he's right with his Maker, with God. The Christian does not have to worry about being arrested for drunk driving or for embezzling funds from his employer or from possession of illegal drugs. The one who allows God to rule in his or her life does not have to worry about hangovers or contracting venereal diseases or getting pregnant outside of wedlock. You see, it's a life free of these worries. And also, it is a life in which God has promised that we will have all we need physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." That's Mark 10 verses 29 to 30. But notice, Jesus is saying that those who leave all for Him will have all they need in this present time, as well as eternal life in the age to come. Well, this is a promise of our Lord, and we can be assured of its fulfillment. Yes, the decision to let God have control of your life is the smartest thing that you could ever do. But then finally, we need contentment if we are to let God rule our lives. This means we must grow to the point where God is our center. He must be the absolute ground of our personal security and significance, the complete source of our adequacy, the one thing we truly have to have, the only thing we cannot do without. When we are content with God at the center of all things, it will no longer matter what our status is in life. It will no longer matter what our circumstances are, because God will be our portion, and having Him, we will have all we need. Paul said to the Philippian saints in Philippians chapter 4, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You see, Paul was content to let Christ rule in his life. This is the reason that he could be content with whatever circumstances came into his life. Dear friend, have you made a full surrender to the Lordship of Christ? Are there still pockets of rebellion in your life? Perhaps there is some area that still bears a postage sign denying God the right to trespass on that part of your being. If so, it is time now to turn it all over, to make the final decision to let God be God. The wonderful thing is that when we turn all our life over to God, He never destroys it, but improves it and gives it back to us in a manner better than we ever could imagine.
Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway D intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.